Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me...
Hi, it's Stephen. Stephen G.
Stephen G. Longtime guest, regular guest. You're on the show all the time.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
And gals.
Now, I want to talk about this. Now, a lot of times I research my guests by just going on Facebook because it's the easiest thing to do.
Right.
I'm looking at you.
I'm easily trackable that way.
Facebook feed, and yeah. All it is Candy Crush and improv shows.
That's right.
What is Candy Crush and why is it taking over your life?
Candy Crush is a new obsession that I've had where you move little candy pieces, virtual candy pieces on a touch screen.
Yeah,
and try to make three or five in a row in certain kind of patterns.
And then you can build combos too?
That's correct. Combinations can occur.
Like Bejeweled.
Yes, yes. It is of the utmost importance.
But you're always talking shit. You're like, oh, check out my high score, you know?
I didn't mean to. I wish I could just stop all the posts about the Candy Crush. I don't know how to.
So I think, is it like a virus where when you play it, it always posts?
It probably does.
Like automatically?
Yeah, it probably. So it's the thing, it's like, oh, look how much time this person's wasting.
Yeah. we're gonna blow up his spot all over his feed.
But the thing is that it's become very important to me. And
what do you mean by that?
Like, I don't know. It's been like a ritualistic thing at this point where it is literally an addiction that I need. It's like a... I don't know. There's no substance other than visuals. And like my dopamine just goes, yay! Yeah. Candy Crush!
Because there's just all these colors. Yeah. Ba-bang, ba-bang. Look at all these points. When I go to sleep,
I see moves that I can potentially make, and like when I'm sleeping and outside, I'm thinking about how to beat the current level that I'm stuck on. It is an obsession.
You know, Bobby Fischer, the best chess player ever, always had a chessboard on a ceiling and would just stare at it as he went to sleep. You know, doing that for Candy Crush.
I mean, yeah, I'm probably on that level of crazy with it.
So are you just refining your technique now where the
worst part about Candy Crush is that it is gigantic. Like, you do not understand. I'm on level 100 and like 78 or something like that. And I would say I have like 7 of my maybe like 600 or 700 friends, so like top 10% I would say of my friends. And there are people that are like way in front of me, like those people.
So how many boards are there? You're on 170.
I'm not even an eighth of the map. Like you can see where else it goes, and at the end it's just like a construction sign. So it's like it'll never end.
Right.
Candy Crush will never end. I will die before I can like get to the end of Candy Crush.
Yeah.
But like I know it. And like I can't beat it. I can't win. You can't win it all, right?
Uh-huh.
You just have to be like either so fucking smart that you get like every single puzzle the first time, every time, and just move all the way up, straight up. If you can do that,
you want to be faster than the developers.
Yeah,
can make
exactly. That's who you have to beat. That's really what it's become right now. Is like be like a mind game against the fucking developers. Like that I don't even know who they are, and just like I have to beat them.
They are these shadow people. Yeah, they've hijacked your attention.
They've hijacked my attention for sure. And like I got introduced to this through my like girlfriend. You know,
yeah.
And she was just like, you have to play this game. It's so great. And then it's become a problem.
Yeah,
it's become problematic.
So speaking of going too hard with stuff, I have been casually bragging on Highway Diary how I started taking Muay Thai, you know, to let people out there know. I puked today, class.
Well, yeah, it happens. You know, it happens.
I got dizzy.
Yeah.
We're doing a couple rounds of jump rope. You get through that and you're huffing and puffing. And then it's like, oh, well, here, kick the bag, 10 times. And, you go in a triangle and we're kicking the bags. And then they're like, okay, we'll do it like 5 more times, like for another round. And then do it like 10 times now and then another round. And it just built into this place where I got dizzy and
What I want to know, Eric, is like when you did puke, did you puke in the bathroom or did you like just fucking, you couldn't help it, you just fucking went on the mat?
No, I actually properly walked to the bathroom. I think I had about 4 heaves that all landed perfectly in the toilet.
Excellent.
I flushed. And I peed on my puke. Then I washed my face and my mouth out with water, and I went back out there, and I fucking kicked bags for another 20 minutes.
Okay.
With puke breath.
Thank you. Thank you for every gory detail.
It was 100% plum. That was what I puked. I puked plum and water, because that's what I ate on the way. You got to really plan your eating. You have to have the fruit in your blood when you're there to sustain the activity.
I see.
And protein powder and stuff. All anyway. What do you think about, you know, all those institutions like the NAACP and the Anti-Defamation League and these institutions that get angry, like you pay them. You know, there's these rich people who are like, I want to complain about everything, but I don't have the time to complain about everything, so let me give this institution money. You guys watch shit on the news and then get pissed off about it for me because I'm fucking working 40 hours a week. What do you, I mean, all those institutions, I mean, you know, some of them do good work, but just the ones that sole purpose are like, you know, those defamation leads where it's like, I see that you're doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, that's interesting. I just saw like a documentary with Ken Burns about the Prohibition era and like all these like arguments that are made by like these women's like sobriety leagues like that were made back in those times. It's like age old. It's always been like that.
Right.
That's what I, okay.
I mean, I do a lot of bitching mainly like in my car when I'm alone and I'm driving. I'm always screaming at the top of my lungs at the other drivers. That's a way from, it's like scream therapy for me.
Okay.
Some people call
that's
it like
rage, how you.
But I think of it as like, I'm not even upset at the other humans. I don't think about them in my car, but I just kind of scream anger. But I'm a one-man band. I don't need to pay another organization to institutionally yell at drivers for me because that's, I'm handling that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
But do you see it? That is one hell of a vape pen, my friend.
I know. It's excellent.
Speaking of anti-defamation leagues, you know, oil tycoons are now claiming that people are discriminating against them for being rich oil tycoons. And they're saying, don't discriminate. You know what I mean? So, and but my thing is, you know what? They should.
I don't discriminate against oil tycoons.
No?
Because I used to be an oil tycoon, so, yeah.
Back before you moved to LA?
That's right. I was an old prospector.
I think a prospector is on the low level compared to a tycoon. Like, you start out as a prospector. Like in SimCity or like Sim Roller Coaster, you know, then you build up your, or I can talk in your language, like then you get more candy peppermints.
That's what I said.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, the colors go and then you start dreaming about Candy Crush. So my point is, oil tycoons should be discriminated against though. And I'm going to do my complaining on this myself. Because they're raping gold coins out of Mother Nature.
Oil tycoons make a lot of money, but they had their own place in it, I think. Like, they have no choice. If you were put in that situation, you'd be an oil tycoon too.
Here's my, I know, but I just feel like
they shouldn't be discriminated against, okay?
Can't oil tycoons, like, eventually turn into, like, solar tycoons or wind tycoons? They're staying oil tycoons. They're not diversifying their portfolio. They're like, you know what I like? Geese that can't get out of the oil, you know? That's what I like.
That's good.
So you think that oil is going to be obsolete in a few years? Or, you know, in 20 years or whatever, you think that...
I mean, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Except for a few who are in power, right?
It seems like it's been obsolete for a long time, but it just, you know, there seems to be this financial component where those guys don't want to give it up, you know? They're like, we got this.
I wouldn't want to either.
Yeah. But it's like, diversify your portfolio, change, you know? Don't be like this...
You want me change? You want me change now? I've been making billions of dollars on oil.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. But it's... I have all this infrastructure. let's talk about some news stories. They are making a stem cell burger.
Muscle tissue is a key component of the meat we eat. And it's first harvested in a small and harmless procedure. Next, the tissue is cut into minuscule pieces to separate the muscle fibers and cells. By dissecting the muscle cells, individual cells can be removed and cultured. The cells start dividing. Eventually, from one muscle cell, more than 1 trillion cells can be grown. Muscles' innate tendency to contract causes them to put on bulk.
Like burgers are people too! Look, oil tycoon burger people are just people, even though they're made out of stem cells. I gotta set up a lobby group for them, because they're not... People discriminate against meat, robot, hybrid stem cell people. So anyway, there's a stem cell burger, and you extract a little bit of the a little tissue, mm-hmm. then you just put it in a vat of
and then it grows.
Stem cell magic, whatever that is. But they basically said, like, if we have 1 ounce of meat, we can turn it into, like, tons of meat. But, and it's going to be genetically identical and nutritionally identical and in every way identical to
Excellent.
Beef, only sustainable.
So we just take like the highest quality beef and just clone it.
I just keep thinking about a swimming pool and then they like put it in this weird solution and then they put like one like little piece of meat and then it just starts spreading and just turns into this pink congealing mass that's like all these muscles that are trying to contract and stuff and it's just like growing in a fucking perfect cube.
Do you know? Like the structure, the like your brain is like that. Your brain looks like that.
It looks like a stem cell burger?
Yeah.
They're saying it's between 10 and 20 years away from human consumption. But they've done a proof of concept and they ate it and they said it smelled great and it was
like
a burger.
Would you eat it?
I'd eat a fucking stem cell burger. Yeah.
That would be delicious.
Maybe not the first one. You want someone else to eat the first stem cell.
I would actually love to be the first one to eat it. I would love to. I'd be like, give it. I love it.
Yeah, all the scientists that ate it are fine. What is it? Is stem cell? It's got to be close to cum. You think? And then they put a little burger in the cum and then it grows. It's got to be close to that.
I don't know.
A couple is getting married and their dying 2-year-old son is the best man. And then Westboro Baptist Church started protesting this wedding because they said the kid's dying because it was a bastard baby.
What?
Yeah, protesting that the baby's got cancer because it was a bastard baby cancer.
That doesn't make sense.
Because of Jesus.
They're so crazy. I can't believe that still happens. Do you know who Remus and Imogene are?
Remus?
Remus and Imogene from the 1920s?
No.
Okay, so, like, Remus was this, like, mob boss. Or, like, he paid the city of New York, the mayor of New York, paid him off to, like, give him licenses to make booze. And, like, you know, in the time of Prohibition, so, like, prices going up. It just forced people to, like, drink. Like, get it. And he made a shit ton of money, got found out, went to jail. Then his wife, Imogene, like, while he was in jail, he only went to jail for, like, 2 years. But still, it's shameful that he got it. Because he was just getting away. It was getting away with everything. And then he goes to jail, and he's like, oh, my wife, Imogene, she'll, you know, she's my most trusted partner. She knows everything, all the deals for me, and she'll take care of everything. Meanwhile, his wife is with the police chief, who's also corrupt in all of this, and still trying to steal all the assets from Remus, and like the cop who is taking those assets, and Imogene are like hooking up, you know, so like behind the back, and so yeah.
Prohibition had all kinds of scandals.
Yeah, I know, but then on top of that, he gets out of jail, and he's like, okay, cool. He goes home, finds it's empty. He's lost everything, including his wife. He finds his wife, kills her in a bridge, and then turns himself in. And then everybody on the he like turns himself in.
they convict, they don't, and then they, like, let him go. Like, the jury lets him go. And, like, he tells everybody, after 9 minutes, the jury let him go after he told his case about what happened. Like, that's fucking crazy to me. But that happened in real life in the 1920s. Like, I saw that on the Ken Burns documentary, and that was the most amazing story I'd ever seen. But you should check that out.
So, in the 1920s, a jury of 12 citizens of this went, wait a minute. That bitch cheated on you with your prosecuting officer?
Yeah, like...
You should have whacked her.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's what happened.
That must have been one hell of a 9-minute speech.
Well, the thing is that, yeah, the guy supplied a need for everybody. He's so likable. Everybody knows him, loves him, doesn't want to see him... They said, since your Christmas last year was so shitty, we decided to make your Christmas good this year by letting you off the
hook. Offer a Christmas present.
He got away with killing his wife in cold blood. In cold blood.
Well.
Because that bitch fucking took everything.
She took everything.
She took everything.
He had nothing to come home to.
But the thing is that he must have done something to make her do that.
Maybe she was just a good time girl and, you know, she wanted a decadent lifestyle and, you know, that is what's terrifying about marriage in general, is it kind of can turn like love and...
Like, see, anybody can turn on you. It made me, like, feel, after watching that, was, like, my reaction, too. It was just, like, a little bit of paranoia of, like, you're gonna fuck me over. Like,
no, yeah, but, like, but about marriage, like, with the guy, you know, it's, like, that's, like, it comes down to, what's the word? Blackmail. It's, like, oh, well, if you leave me, then you get all my stuff? It's kind of, it's weird. Or, like, you know, she has access to that? I'm just saying in divorces when there's alimony. Child support's a different thing, but just alimony? Like, I gotta pay you because you lived here for free?
Yeah.
Whew. That's just no joke.
Yeah.
Like, Oprah, you know, and Stedman. Stedman is Oprah's manslave.
Okay.
First of all, he's just a kept man because she's smart and she's like, I'm not going to marry you and you take half my Oprah money. Fuck that shit. You're just down here to lick my taint. All right?
Yeah.
And you better start munching.
Wow.
When I fucking, like, as I'm getting in the door, like, you're munching.
I feel like her and, like, Lady Gaga would be good friends. Like, if we put Oprah and, like, Lady Gaga in, like, a three-legged race. And they had to work together. I think they would do pretty good.
Lady Gaga's, like, costume and, like, the aluminum foil from it. And, like, you know, the fencing and stuff.
It depends on what she was wearing that day. I think
that might deter the
three. I would trust that she would come, like, fashionably, like
ready prepared. Activity.
Yeah, and she wouldn't come in, like, some kind of, like, butterfly dress or something.
But, like, maybe, you know, her muse, you know, told her that that's...
I mean,
you
she
never
might
know how Lady Gaga's going
to dress. I can't try to suppose what Lady Gaga's going to do.
Stedman! Lick my chain! You've been a good down there!
Why does she sound like a Stedman! Sounds like a southern, I don't know.
Yo, in my mansion,
like,
playing fantasy football on my Wi-Fi and you're not... gobbling my tail.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know. I think because Oprah is so magnanimous, I don't even notice who Stedman is.
Yeah, he's just her shadow puppet lover. He's not meant to be seen.
Isn't she hanging out with this other lady?
Oh, the Gail. There's always rumors that she's gay and she's hanging out with Gail, but, you know.
Oh, Gail.
On the record, she has a boyfriend, Stedman. Maybe he's just a man that she pays $50,000 a year to live in the house, you know, and say, yeah, I've seen that thing, you know.
This is good this is good friends, maybe. Maybe Stedman is very wise. And they're just very good friends.
Maybe Stedman is Oprah. Well, like Tyler Perry. Like he puts on the Oprah costume.
And been vaporizing recently.
vaporizing instead of smoking cigarettes.
That's correct. I've been using this electronic machine. I'm going to be the first in trying that. This is the stem cell burger of the century.
Nicotine.
Of nicotine, yes. It tastes pretty good. I like it. You know, mm-hmm. Do you taste that like creamy like dragon blend? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of like the stuff that comes out.
You like the stuff that comes out?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it tastes really good.
You got some plugs coming up. You can see Stephen G do improv, which when he's not playing Candy Crush, let me tell you something, he's doing some improv. Just look at his Facebook.
That's it.
Every Tuesday at the Iowa West with his group called English Speaking Moose in the Del Close Theater at 10:30 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
How much are tickets? They are free. Mm-hmm. You show up and you say, I want to say English Speaking Moose, and they'll go, okay.
Yep.
Unless you show at 10:30 a.m.
No,
which
that's
is not
what,
you
what we do. No.
10:30 p.m.
No, 22.
I got some Flappers main room shows coming up. I did my first main room show actually like 2 weeks ago, and it went. Did all my powerful cum jokes. Actually, that set is going to be on YouTube right now. So,
oh, excellent!
Go to the Eric Hollenbach YouTube page.
I can't wait to see it.
Check out 4 minutes of heavy cum jokes.
Yeah, I love a good cum joke.
That's pretty much all. I am the Jackson Pollock of cum jokes.
So you just kind of splatter them all on. Like,
the audience, the front row, wears bibs.
No, wait, like you're Gallagher not. You're more like the Gallagher of
cum jokes.
Cum jokes. That's what it is. Gallagher and Jackson Pollock are comparable, though.
I think it's
very similar.
They did very similar art pieces.
Do you remember that guy? Did you ever see that guy on Ripley's Believe It or Not? The guy who like puked his paint. He would like swallow paint and then puke it out onto canvas.
And Ripley's like, I can't believe or not that you would spend your time doing this. Why are you eating paint and puking it?
Just got to do it.
I got some shows coming up in the Flappers main room.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-huh. And I'm trying not to do that material. It was only 4 minutes of material at that stand-up thing for my YouTube. But now I try to not do that because it's out there.
Right.
I feel like that's like taping my HBO special.
Oh, yes.
But I put only my best jokes in it, and I feel a little dilapidated right now. I feel like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, so see me a little off in the Flappers main room, Wednesday, August 15th at 8 p.m. And I got another show, Flappers main room, Tuesday, September 3rd, 10 p.m. So you can see me every 2 weeks, really, if you're like, I don't have enough of air. Hollenbach yelling in my head, you know?
Yes, telling me what's going on.
So, now that that's out of the way, we've done our plugs. This is the show part of the show.
Ba-ba-da-ba!
We just played a little ping pong.
That's right.
Right back into things. I apologize. I went after you. I played very competitively.
You had me. I hadn't played in a very long time.
Meaning that it's my, you know what, I've been playing. Since we got the table, I've been really up in my game, up a level. I've gone through 2 paddles now that I've thrown and broken. Because Jody Barton, let me tell you something. My roommate Jody, he'll get me to deuce. Like, it'll be 20 to 20, and then it'll be like, you know, it'll go into like 20 overtimes, and then he'll win. And we'll play like 16 of those games in a row. And after you get to deuce, and you're so close. So close.
You've beaten them before, right?
Yeah, I've beaten them. But when you lose deuce and out 3 times in a row, you throw your fucking paddle. Why? Some people might say it's an anger problem that I scream in my car. Some people say it's an anger problem that I throw my paddles.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
That's my scream therapy.
Don't worry.
That's my throw therapy. Yeah. People
you
have
do
ways
what you
to
do.
No, like I go through scream therapy in my car. It's not because I'm angry. It's scream therapy. When I'm screaming, get out the road, you stupid cunt. If your brain's that slow, you shouldn't be driving. You fucking bitch. When
that's
I scream
that.
That's
anger for you?
No, not at all. That's my scream therapy.
Oh, okay.
And when I,
who's,
you know,
for whom punch, is it for? Is it for you or is it for them?
No, but it's the therapy I'm going through.
But they hear
it's
you,
myself.
Right? They hear you say those things.
Well, when I do the windows down, which is, you know, all the time, and then I tell them to roll their window down, and then I go,
so next
get time, out the road, you fucking bitch, cunt, cocksucker.
Right.
you know, that's, then it's like we've both experienced those words. Mm-hmm. And then it's not like I don't get to debrief them and go, how do you feel now? How do I feel now? And then fill out like an emotional survey, because then I just kind of put my foot on the accelerator and flip the bird, you know? So that's right, how that experience ends. Just like,
boom, that's
but
it,
that's for that. Me, it's so relieving. Yeah. You know, that's the, you know, people have different therapies.
But you're not mad. Have different religions. You're not actually mad at them.
No!
Anyway, going back to the Muay Thai thing, like, I got into two fights in high school, and one of them was just, this guy was fucking annoying me and my girlfriend, and he just kept on bugging us. And then eventually we left, and I kept on just being like, fuck off. And then as soon as we left to, like, walk somewhere, he, like, walked up right behind us, and I just turned around and punched him. Because he kept being
being a dick to you and your girlfriend.
Day two, his friend comes over and throws honey Dijon mustard on me.
Second day, got it.
Then I say, oh, I'm too much of a pussy to do any of my own fights for me, so here. So then I gave my friend honey Dijon mustard, and then he threw it at him.
Uh-huh.
And then that guy attacked my friend.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of dodged a bullet. I dodged an attack. But then I just...
There are four people involved.
Yes, but then many more people got involved because, like, a melee broke out.
Whoa, you guys started a gang war.
But here's what I did. Nothing. I just sat to the side and just watched the chaos. I was absolutely frozen.
Whoa.
The only fight I was in was the time I punched him. Second fight I got in, it was gym class. These people were running around this track. And they were like, hey, you're such a fucking pothead girl to this girl. They were heckling this girl, these idiot jock guys. I was like, hey, guys, hey, get some funny jokes or shut the fuck up. And then they were like, what did you say? And then I was like, oh, yeah, get funny jokes or shut the fuck up. Anyway, you got no jokes. Bye.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, and then just for that, he was like, yo, what door do you leave when you leave school? And I was like, that one, you know, and I pointed to a door and he's like, all right, I'll be there. So then I show up and I'm wearing fucking sunglasses with a rhinestone heart in it because I'm a bad motherfucker. I don't care. I walk out there and he's like, standing there. He's like, take your glasses off. I'm like, I don't want to fight you. You're a fucking dummy and this isn't going to solve anything. So then he spat at me. So then I go to take off my backpack, and as my hands are behind my back, putting my backpack off, he starts punching me. So then I just, he probably hit me like 6 times in the head.
Wow.
But it really didn't do much. It gave me a fat lip. And then I just tackled him on the concrete and I put his hands down and I put my fist up like I was going to punch him. I go, is it over? And he goes, yeah, yeah. And then he just scampered away like a little bitch. And I didn't even... But I think now, if I knew how to get plums in and really knee him in the face, you know, that would have been
some serious damage.
So now I'm just like rectifying high school vicariously through myself, coaching myself in my younger days of, hey, you should have done this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Man up.
But I don't know if those same rules apply nowadays.
What?
Because times have changed. We're not even in high school anymore.
Yeah, you used to be able to get away with that shit, right?
But now it's like, Muay Thai is going to, like, help you. I mean, like, you know, it's going to help you be an exercise. But you don't want it to be something that's detrimental to you.
Right.
Then that becomes not
right.
Something bad.
Because if you knock anybody out, if there's a situation in front of you, and you handle your business, and you knock some guy the fuck out.
Yeah.
His friend might be pissed off.
I would.
And then all of a sudden you got a Bruce Lee, a ballroom full of angry, you know, best men and family members, you know?
I don't know
if I'm going to be that good.
I don't know. Why do we got to hit each other?
I'm just doing it for exercise. And I just scream at people for therapy in my car.
No woman, no cry.
Eat my snatch!
I'm going to smoke some weed to try to ease the tension. I said that on tape. I don't care.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, allegedly. So why do you think marijuana is illegal? Is it because marijuana opens your mind in ways that the government once closed?
Is it a deprogrammer that allows you to look at the world and go, it's the next booze. We're just living in the next booze?
It's just the next booze, like next substance thing. It's saying we're in prohibition times, but mm-hmm. we live in a state that's ratified it as a medicine, so we're cool. So and we're all like, oh, it's just medicine, so I can just say it's medicine.
It's medicine. It's proven in country after country that when you decriminalize all drugs and make them a health issue, that it saves the government tons and tons of money. It's better for everybody. You're not locking up families and then, you know, put them in jail, and then our tax dollars have to pay from jail. So you're taking those people out of society. And we have growing jail populations, yeah. You know?
The crime is what fuels a lot of it.
We have the most percentage of people in jail in any country. I think that the Nazis had more people in jail. You know what I mean?
Are concentration camps considered jail?
Well,
it's gotten worse. Jail, like, I mean, you that's hold somebody in and try to, like,
but that's in a jail category.
All right.
Are you worried that the
it's not like an eradication thing. It's just like you broke the law. But the thing is that the law is against something that everybody already does, and it's just that we see the consequences of actions that were taken long ago nowadays in the same way because it was just introduced. It's like history repeats itself.
That's another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diaries in a bag.
Yeah, it's in that bag, that ear bag that you have in your sack. Mm-hmm. So thanks mm-hmm. for listening.
Close your ear bags because this show's over.
Yeah.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks to my guest, Stephen G.
All right. Thank you, Eric.